Korach, Tavshinayin Zion. Initially, we thought there would be a shir. The reason being because I would be in Chutzlarts, attending a Simcha. Also, at the same time that I would be in Chutzlarts attending a Simcha, we'd be missing another Simcha here in Eretz Yisrael. One in Chutzlarts for my great niece. One in Eretz Yisrael for very close friend's son. So perhaps it's appropriate that we talk a little bit about Parshas Korach in light of these simchas. Perhaps we'll see as that unfolds. First of all, the idea of Korach is. This is not a private sin. It's not a sin of on one particular point as much as it's an attack on the entire structure of the Torah. Two of the Yud Gimel Ikrim deal with the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu and that the Torah is Torah's Moshe. The seventh and eighth Ikrim or an imamim b'mun hashleim or shenivuos Moshe Rabbeinu al v'lashom ha'isa amitis yishuaya av l'nevim l'kodim l'fonav l'abayim ha'achrof. And the eighth of the Yud Gimel Ikrim is an imamim b'mun hashleim shekol ha'torah ha'metzuya atu b'yadeinu hi anasuna l'moshe Rabbeinu al v'lashom. So the attack on Moshe and Aaron, but by virtue of the fact that it's also an attack on Moshe Rabbeinu, removes this entire discussion, the entire parsha of Korach, from the realm of one more. I don't mean to make light of Averas, or just refer them as a faux pas, but it takes it to an entirely different strata. I think perhaps last year we talked about the idea from the Brisk Rav, when Rashi says that Moshe Rabbeinu collapsed, he fell on the ground when the entire process of the Machlokas began to unfold, because it was their fourth, as it were, Sirachon, the first fourth of Aram, b'machlokes. What exactly does that mean? Moshe Rashi, this is in Perek Tazayin, Pasuk Dalet. So Yishma Moshe, Vayipol Aponav, says Rashi, Yipol Aponav, Yibnei Machlokes, Shekvar Ze B'yodam Sirchon Revi. Rashi enumerates the different places where they were Chote, the Egel, and the Sonanim, the Raglim. And he says it's about Shalma Adavadome to a beloved advisor, as it were, of the king. A beloved friend of the king, and he's had to appease the king several times on behalf of the son of the king. Does it once, does it twice, does it three times. The fourth time, he feels as though his position is weakened. Nisrash lo yodav, says Rashi again. This is Perek Tazayin Pasuk Dalet. Nisrash lo yodei ha'ohev, or who amar ad masa atriach al hamelach shem li kabel od mimeni. The entire concept of it being a tircha for the Ribbono Shel Olam is, at first glance, is bizarre. But the idea being, the Griz says the concept over here of the fourth Avera, why the fourth Avera? So he says, because based upon the Rambam teaches in Hilkos Tshuva that for a tzibur, a tzibur tolen lehem ovon rishon shenu shlishi. It was unlike an individual, already the third Avera is considered. This is establishing a pattern in the person's modus operandi, his behavior. It's not just a mikre by him, but by the tzibur, tolin lehem ovon rishon shenu shlishi, etc. And they only start the cheshbon. The cheshbon again, once again, it's not like anybody gets carte blanche here. It's not like you can do aver and get away with it. The idea of how much would we say that the person has defined his worldview, defined what his place is in the world. So by the tzibur, the fourth time is already the beginning of that. The Rav Aviva Eilech, says Rama. says the risk around. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu felt as though his position, his hands were weakened. How much more can I do? After all, this is the fourth Avera. No longer are we Tola. Right? At this point, this is a Mikra. This is just chance. This is not typical or typifying of their nature, etc. I wanted to add, I think we talked about this last year, that the concept of Machlokas, Rashi actually adds a second Nakuda, not just Sirchon Aviv, also Machlokas. Because if we're talking about defining the nature of the Jewish people, we're talking about defining the nature of the Jewish people, so let's say even if, God forbid, the nature of the Jewish people has established a pattern of itself, it's the fourth time already, this appears to be not just chance, this appears to be establishing, you know, precedence on the ground, like, who are you, how do you conduct yourself, it's the fourth of Avera. But there's always hope. You can always regenerate. You can always regenerate the Jewish people. Jewish people have, after all, roots that go very deep. The Avos, etc., etc., their own merit. But if there's machlokas, it's as though the organism is itself blighted. You can't put the organism back together again because the organism is not whole. It's a broken organism. It's not just that it's diseased. It's been hacked into pieces. So in any event, now Zuli Nanin over here. This is an attack on the part of Korach on the entire structure of the Jewish people. Let's take a look at the Pesukim. So the Yikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kohath, the very beginning of the Parsha ben Levi, the Dasam of Aviram, the Dasam of Piram, Bnei Eliyav, on ben Pelz, Bnei Ruvain. Right? Bnei Ruvain. So this is the beginning of the story of Korach. First of all, Rashi says, "Va'yikach Korach lokach es atzmo." The Mefarshim deal with them. So let's just spend a few moments discussing this. Let's take a look at both Rashi and the Ramban and the Gur Aryeh, how they deal with the verb "Va'yikach Korach." "Va'yikach Korach." "Va'yikach Korach lokach es atzmo letzad echad lios nechlach mikol ha'eda ro'er al ha'tzmo." So Rashi focuses. I mean, the Gur Aryeh discusses Rashi's approach, but really what Rashi is focusing on, though, in the end, the bottom line is that the pasuk over here is describing the political facts that Korach created on the ground. He made himself separate. He made himself into a separate entity. Vayikach Korach lokach es atzmo letzad echad lios nechlak mitocha eda la'or alakuni. He set himself as an independent entity. I'm no longer going with the flow of the tzibur. I'm no longer. I am going to establish a new pattern. I'm going to set a new, standard, a new modus operandi for the Jewish people. That's why Rashi understands the idea of Vayikach Korach. He, as it were, he took himself outside of the rest of the Ada, and made himself into a new force. Ramban says, no, says the Ramban about Kavonas HaMedrash. Again, it's all being based basically on the Medrash Tanchum, which discusses the entire beginning of the Parsha, as Rashi himself mentions, in great length. Ramban says about Kavonas HaMedrash V'yikach Korach Shalokach Eitza B'libo La'asos Ma She'yisaper. Yalakicha Tomar ala Eitza v'amachshava v'chein ma yikachcha libcha, a pasuk found by Eov. The lakicha over here is he formulated a philosophy, a plan of action. Again, says the Ramban, Kavanas HaMedrash shalokach Eitza b'libo. He formulated, he took an Eitza, a plan of action, a mode of conducting himself, to do that which is will be discussed later on in the Parsha. So according to Rashi, the Lakicha is he set himself aside from the rest of the Tzibur in order to be able to conduct the Machlokas. According to the Ramban, it's discussing really something internally of how he set up for himself a certain philosophy, an approach, what was going to be the raison d'etre, as it were, of his attack on Moshe and Aaron. But the Gur Aryeh says a very fascinating thing. He says you wouldn't say, right, bringing the pasuk that the Medrash brings on, which the Ramban cited, "Ma'ikachachol libcha," your heart takes you.
Why would you say your heart takes you if you're formulating your philosophy? It's very thought out. It's premeditated. There's a lot of personal investment, and you wouldn't say your heart takes you. It says that, who are you? I will perish by yikach shechoshav machshava ma laatzmo laidei ze shayach by yikach de me machshava hamiyuchedes shehayelo nilkach letzad echad. As he ruminated, as he rolled around this idea, and we'll discuss exactly what brought him to these ideas in the first place, but as he rolled around this idea like a gumdrop in his heart, over and over and over, he became obsessed with it. He was nilkach. V'hainu dekomar b'medrashe libo lokcho yamachshav hamiyuchedes shehayelo b'zeh. The specific machshava that he had in this, a machshava lokcho oso, that overtook him. And there's the more that you focus on something, the more you focus on something, the more it becomes part of you, the more that it, if it's talking a pernicious idea, an unhealthy idea, poisonous idea, its venom spreads in you. If I remember correctly, Rav Ram ben Agra says, on l'kai nitzor l'shoni meira, that we should say at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, l'kai nitzor l'shoni meira, he says, it's a reference to the heart. Why? L'kai nitzor l'shoni meira? He says, because the tongue is the kumus, it's the quill of the heart. It's the quill of the heart. And when a person, as it were, thinks evil thoughts about other people, angry thoughts, jealous thoughts, denigrating thoughts, critical thoughts, he begins to create the inkwell, right, from which the tongue becomes the quill that expresses it outwardly. L'kai nitzor l'shoni meira, guard my tongue. The way to guard my tongue is that I shouldn't allow anybody can have a fleeting thought, but to ruminate on it, to go it over and over and over again, to become obsessed with it, that's the issue. So I dare say that the Gur Aryeh over here, in his understanding of what happened with Korach, what the Pasuk is describing to us, is very similar to the concept that Ram ben Agra addresses in L'kai Nitzor. As those are internal dynamics. In terms of the external dynamics, so how exactly do you plan to pull this caper off? How did he indeed, what sort of actions did he do? So Rashi is Ma'asa. Again, once again, this is from the Medrash. Amar v'kines Reish Nun, 250 Rashi Sanadros. Great people. Great people. Wise people. Rubam Meshevet Ruvain, most of them from Meshevet Ruvain. Shchenav, from his neighbor, from where Korach was encamped around the Mishkan. So Ruvain was his neighbor. Behemeli Tzur ben Shteyur, v'chaverav. Great people in the Jewish people. Yotzev Oshin Amar, Nasi Eda Kriye, Nasi Eda Kriye, Moed. Lohalan Ho Omer, Ela Kriye, Eda. Yilbishan Talisos, Shekulan Tcheles. He dressed them in four cornered garments that were all Tcheles. Bova Omdu Lefe Moshe. Amelo Talis, Shekula, Shel Tcheles. Talis, which is completely made of Tcheles. Chayevis, which is a Soptura. Is it chayevis and tzitzis? Do you need to put tzitzis on it? Uptura. Or is it not required? Amalem chayevis. Moshe Rabbeinu said, of course, chayevis. Yischilu l'sachek olav. They began to mock Moshe Rabbeinu. Am efshe talis shel min echad. Chut echad shel tcheles potra. Zu shekula tcheles lo tiftor as ansla. But you need a chut shel tcheles. The whole begit is tcheles. This is obviously a reference to the idea. He called it Eda Kulam Kedoshi. Uvisokam Hashem. The entire congregation is holy. We don't need right, any of your specific leadership skills. We don't need you to be an intermediary for us. We don't need your entire function. You're the one who's giving us the Torah. You're the one who's telling us what Hashem says. Kikoleda kulum kdoshim. Kikoleda kulum kdoshim. After all, didn't we hear it at Har Sinai? Atem tuli mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh. It's interesting, the juxtapositioning of the end of last week's parsha, which was all about the tzitzis, etc., and the fact that this becomes a tool of Korach's rebellion against the Torah is very fascinating. Very fascinating. So he dressed them all in tchilas. Now let's look for a bit before we address, you know, more thoroughly, hopefully, this discussion of the importance of tzitzis over here based upon what we talked about last week. And perhaps we'll expand into the idea of, well, we'll see in a moment, you know, what makes this unique on a lot of different levels, the concept of tzitzis being introduced over here, the concept of tchelis being introduced over here. So the Medrash says, the Korach shepikeach haya, ma ra l'shtus hazeh, Korach is a pikeach, person mekabel chachma, ma ra l'shtus hazeh, this nonsense, this foolishness, this craziness. The way they describe it, it's just off the beaten path. Like, why do something so crazy? He knew who Moshe Rabbeinu was. What drove him to this? Ela eino hitaso. His eyes deceived him. Rosh al shelz gedula omedes emenu shmuel sheshokol kemoshe v'aron. He saw prophetically that his descendants, among his descendants, would be Shmuel and Avi. Right? Moshe v'aron. And Shmuel b'Kori Shmuel. Shmuel is Shmuel b'Kori Shmuel. Shmuel is Shokol Keneged Moshe V'Aron, which is a discussion in its own right, whatever that means. But Shmuel is obviously, he is, as he says about himself, on the Aroah. He's the seer. Shmuel and Navi. So Korach thinks himself, if Shmuel and Navi is going to come for me, could it be that I'm going to be destroyed? Could it be that I should be quiet? I'm after all. I'm destined to greatness. I'm destined to greatness. This, however, right, as the Medrash points out, v'lo ro yafel afi shebonav asu tshuva v'omdim mehen. He didn't see correctly, because the reason why Shmuel eventually became one of his descendants is because his children, lam natzeach livnei Korach. The Bnei Korach will chose him a tshuva at the last moment. That's what saved his shalshelis, his tradition of greatness. Not from him, but from his children. But this is really, that's a secondary thing. What set him off to begin with? In other words, this is what allowed him to continue. I guess the check, but I'm going to lose. Is it possible I'm going to lose? After all, look who's going to come for me. But what ignited the fuse? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin teaches us in the context of the story of the wives of Korach and On ben Peles. On ben Peles, as we see at the beginning of the Parsha, he is along involved in this machlokas, just like Dasam Aviram from Reuven, so to Omer Pelas. All of a sudden here, the Chazal decide to tell us that there's a lot going on behind the scenes that we don't see, and that itself begs the question: where do they see this? Where's the Rebbe's to it? Why? Perhaps they had a bit of Kabbalah, but it just seems so odd. All of a sudden here, we got a whole scenario being painted by the Gemara and Sanhedrin about two women, the wife, right, of Korach, the wife of On ben Peles, and there's even a pasuk that speaks about them in Mishlei. It's all related to this topic at hand here. It seems so bizarre. Where is this from? It seems like out of left field. At first glance, this is just one more masculine male, you know, power play, you know, political machinations, jealousy, etc. Why bring in the women? So the Amarav, this is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuftesma Beis Kufyut. Amarav, On ben Peles, Ishto Hitziloso. On ben Peles was saved by his wife. Amarle, Mai Nafka Lachamina. What difference does it make for you? She said to her husband, Imar Rabba Antalmida, Vimarab Antalmida. You're going to wind up being the Talmud anyway. Of either Moshe Rabbeinu or Korach. What do you got to gain from this? Like the Sheval Tase Adiv. You actually are not sure who should be the leader. just sit around. Why take an active stance? It's not like you're going to gain anything from it. Amala, my Avid, Avid be'etzev ishtaboy li v'hadayu. I took counsel with them. That's with Korach, that's with Aviram, everyone else. And I swore loyalty to the cause. Amale, yadana de kula kadishta kadishta ninu. I know that they're a very holy convocation, these several. It's an interesting point in its own right, right? Holy enough, really called to be concerned about what you'll see about in a moment, not holy enough to be concerned about the machlokas and the discord for sowing the Jewish people. The tzah shemra, the kas, the machlokas. No. So here it goes. Tichsiv ki kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim. After all, they're all holy. Amalei, tuv da'adam atzilin lach. Sit, I'll save you. Ashki sechama varvise. She gave him some strong drink, wine, strong wine to drink, and he became drunk as the proverbial skunk. V'angnise, and she laid him down, gavoy. She laid him down on a bed inside the tent. Osval bovo, she sat upon at the entrance to the tent. V'sasrasalamazia, and she uncovered her hair. She did her hair, whatever. Kol da'asa chazia, everyone came towards the tent. They were going to come and get Omen Pelas. This is our big day. We're going to, as it were, engage in this, in the joust, the Torah's joust with Aaron. But they saw her sitting there with her hair uncovered. Oh. And they left. Adahachi vahachi ivlulu. Right? In the interim, while all of this, hubbub took place, they couldn't get Omen Pelas. Meanwhile, what happened? The spiritual joust took place. We know that Aaron's Torah was accepted and not that of the 250 ish, and the Das of Aviram, Korach, and the 250 Anshi Korach, as we were met there, the bitter end, each one respectively in different ways. You'd be through fire, but you'd be swallowed up into the earth. Here it says, Ivlulo, they were swallowed up. Itza the Korach, now on the other hand, Itza the Korach. Amalei, she did something else. What'd she do? She said to him, Chazi Maika Ovid Moshe, look what Moshe did to you. He'll have a Malka, he's the king. La Achla Shavya Kahana Rabba, his brother means the Kohen Gadol. Livnei Achoso Shavinus Gane Kahana, he made the what he called the children of Aaron into Sgane, the second in command of the Kohanim. You ask your truma, if you bring truma, amit ha'av in the coin, he goes to the coin. You ask the meister, if we bring meister to the levim, that's us. Korach, that was a levi. Yeah, also meister, shakil to atun, that you receive, amit ha'av in the coin. Give it 10% to the coin, too much meister. But not only that, but it's the process of the, making the levim, as it were, as an exchange for the Bechorim, as we saw in last week's Parsha, right? He says, not only that, but he says, the guy is like the Mazaychu. He shaved off all your hair. All the hair was shaved off. You look like a cue ball. You look like Telly Savalas, if anybody remembers who he was. He revisited Yul Brynner. No one for sure remembers about him. Yeah? The guy is like the Mazaychu. He's mocking you. Kikufta, you look, you're to him in his eyes, you're like Kufta's excrement. Nice lady, huh? Enayav Mazaychum, he felt that you looked too august, too majestic with your hair, etc. That's why he's done this. He's concocted this whole business of this is the way to retire the Levim, this is the way to cleanse the Levim, in order that they will take the places of the Bechorim at post the Cheta Egel. He's just doing this so he can get rid of your majestic look. Amalai, he says to her, Korach says back to her, he did it himself also. He's a Levi. Moshe Rabbeinu also went through this process. Amalai, ach, you fool, came into Kul Ravusa Didei. All the power is his anyway. Amar you, he says to himself, Nami, Tomostafshima Plishtim, I might as well suffer along with everybody else. It's worthwhile, it's just so I can stick it to Korach. But the Kamlachua, Avid Urikot, now also, right? You're doing his bidding. What do I tell you? She's the one who gave him the Eitzah. Address your men and begotten of Tchelis and come to mock Moshe Rabbeinu with the words that we saw before. There's a Tchelis, a beggar, that's all Tchelis required. Tzitzis. And it achsiv. And not that which it says about these two women. Chachmos Nashim. Chachmos Nashim, Bonsa Besa. So Ishto shall own Ben Pelas. The wise amongst the women. The wise women. They build their homes. That's the wife of On Ben Pelas. The Iveles Biodea Traseno. An Iveles. What's an Iveles? Iveles is a tipesh, a shote. But it's not a comment on the person's intellectual prowess. Rather, when a person takes a crooked, foolish approach to life, the Ivelis beyond Tarsena, she destroys her own home. Zu ishto shel Korach. Pasuk and Mishlei, Perek Gedal, Pasuk Aleph. Then you say, Chachmos means Nashim, Bansa, many women, it's in plural. The wise women, Bansa is singular. Right? Bansa is singular. Idea being the Chor, there are many drachim in which women implement their wisdom to build their homes. I wouldn't say there's one path always. And there's clearly over here, Ishto shall omen pelas. I mean, I don't think that we necessarily have to say that every woman to be considered in the category of Chachmos Nashim Bansa Besa has to get her husband stewed like a prune, right? So that. Then after it sit on the entrance way to their house, their hair uncovered. I mean, this is certainly not the standard for Jewish women's conduct. But she uses each person, and given the situation, she uses her chachma in order to preserve her home. Whereas the Velas, I heard from Moshe Shapiro, Zichar Tzadik, the Kodesh L'Vracha, that the idea of an evil, an evelis here, it's in the feminine, is it comes from the shorish yiva, to want. In other words, what a person wants becomes his raison d'etre. When what a person wants becomes the building blocks of his egocentric universe, what I want, then that person is a fool. He's a fool because he's now catapulted himself into a world of a mirage. He's left behind the world of Chachma, of right? Reishis Chachma. The beginning of Chachma is Yiras Hashem. Chachma, the idea of understanding, the first step of wisdom is to understand that Hashem wills and therefore I am. This is my existence is conditional. It doesn't revolve around the hub of what I want for me. But the hub of existence is that the Borei Olam is the Borei Olam. Interesting. Very interesting. Question is, why, how did we get involved in this? What does this have to do with the wife of Korach? What does it have to do with Tzitzis and Tchelis and how they came on to this? We mentioned last week, let's just briefly just go over some of the ideas we mentioned last week. We mentioned several ideas with regard to Tzitzis Bechlal. We mentioned the Meshech Chachma taught us that, first of all, that Tzitzis, he took note of the fact of why it says Ayomer Hashem L'Moshe. It's supposed to be a Daber. Ayomer Shekol Mokam K'siv. Right? Wherever there's a necessity to do something immediately, Vayomer is used. Just as we saw with the Gabi, the Agolos and Parshas Naso, Kach Itam, Shem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, take them from me immediately. Upochim Brostovchot, Rekot, Nason Titan Lehem. So too also here, Moshe had to do it immediately for himself. And as every person, right, perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu, whether he actually needed it or whether it was meant to be a representative, a way of teaching the Jewish people, but each person needs tzitzis. He needs tzitzis. Because tzitzis remind the person of what the framework of Torah mitzvahs are. It's a unique mitzvah. I mean, we're not talking about Sefer HaChinuch here, explaining, you know, the Tami and mitzvahs. The psukim themselves talk about how the mitzvah tzitzis teaches us about all mitzvahs. About all mitzvahs, the entire structure, the framework of mitzvahs. The Or Chaim, as you remember last week, pointed out also, told us that the reason why it says over here, L'dorosam, right? L'dorosam in Parsha Tzitzis from last week's Parsha, but L'dorosam, it teaches even if you have a holy generation, you might think, what do we need Tzitzis for? To be reminded of what the framework of Torah mitzvahs are? No, no. Every door needs it. Every door needs it. Continues the Meshech Chachma. Meshech Chachma taught us a further idea. The entire concept of the Beged, right? The Beged, and I don't want to go over everything we talked about last week, but the Beged with the strands at the end hanging down are indicative of the fact that this is meant to represent the world. The world, and just as like it says, Ota Or Kasalma, Kosh Brohu revealed creation, gave existence to creation in the form of a Beged, which on the one hand, yeah, hides himself, hides the Borei Olam. On the other hand, it gives us the ability to be able to find the Borei Olam. Ota Or Kasalma, to wrap oneself in light. That's what Rabbeinu Shalom did. So the Beged of creation, the strands at the end are not finished. Why? Because it's man's job description to finish the Bria. That's the hanging strands, as it were, the tzitzis. Again, we spoke about it at a greater length last week, and I don't want to just repeat things that we talked about. We talked about the idea of the tchelis and the lavan. Right? But first of all, we talked about the idea of the tchelis. The tchelis itself was meant to remind a person of the Marmon Akos and Men Gimel. The tchelis is reminiscent, as it were, in its color of the sea, and then that is reminiscent of the color of the sky, and that in turn is reminiscent of the Kisei HaKavod. And the Kli Yakar, again, without being Marech, told us that the sea serves Hashem out of Yira, and the heavens, the constellations, etc., the orbs that find themselves in the celestial sphere, they serve Hashem out of Ava. Again, without going into how the Kli Yakar tried to prove that last week, etc. So from Yira to Ava to Kisei HaKavod to Dveikus BaHashem. So once again, the entire mitzvah tzitzis speaks to mitzvahs in general. The Tziv taught us that the unique quality of the tchelis and the lavan, the tchelis is meant to remind, well, let's start with the lavan perhaps, the lavan is meant to remind the two zechiras, there's zechartem, yuman, tzidzkiru, and one is to teach us the koach of the lavan, that a person who's involved in the mundane affairs of this world, that he should make sure not to become so preoccupied with them that he forgets to do the mitzvah shaita. When the mitzvah is coming his way, he must, as it were, abandon his mundane affairs and immediately take care of the mitzvah that has come to his doorstep. And the tchelis, and that's particularly important over here with regard to Korach and the thinkers of the Masayim HaChamishim Ish, etc., that the tchelis is there to remind a person who's involved in lofty, lofty ideas of Avodas Hashem, etc., but you can never ignore the mitzvah shaita. You can't ignore the structure of mitzvahs. You can't. All this brings us to the next point. What does this have to do with women? What we're searching for over here is the juxtapositioning of the end of Parsha Shlach and the beginning of Parsha's Korach. Tzitzis to Korach, so we see how Chazal, as it were, in their unique fashion, tied together the two parshios. In other words, the usage, or the abuse, I should say, of the concept of tzitzis and tchelis was there as part of Korach's political ploy. The question is, where did this whole story of women get involved over here? The wife of Korach, the wife of Onan ben Peles. How did this get mixed in over here? Where did they see any sort of remnants to that? So let's take a look.
So we've seen so far a little bit of the internal dynamics in terms of the Machlokas of Korach, what he was thinking, how he became obsessed with an idea that took over his whole energy, his entire persona. We talked about the symbolism in the usage of the talisos of Tcheles to mock Moshe Rabbeinu, in that the concept of tzitzis in general, as we discussed, is really to set the tone to describe the entire framework of Torah mitzvos. As we mentioned, the Mashiach Chochma, we have a job to finish in the world, that's why the strands are loose at the edge, like a garment that's unfinished. On the other hand, it speaks to the Ava and Yir, or the Yir and the Ava, as the Kli Yakar explained to us, that the color Tcheles, specifically, the Gemara cites, is similar to the color of the sea, and the sea is similar to the color of the sky, and the sky to the Kisei Kavod, showing the process of Yira, the sea, again, follows the command of Hashem in a state of Yira, almost metaphorically, as we see the waves crashing against the coast, right, and almost gnashing their teeth at their inability to be able to go further if they're forced to listen to the will of Hashem. On the other hand, the smechim betzesim v'sasim bevoam of the constellations and of all the orbs found in the celestial sphere, moving smoothly, gliding through our line of vision, in a state of repose. Simcha Ava, Yaka says, and that leads eventually to Dveikus in the Kisei HaKavod, a reattachment of our soul to its source. We talked about the difference, the Hamek Davar, in terms of the usage of both Lovan and Tcheles. Lovan meant to remind a person that even if he's involved in more mundane affairs, he should never become so preoccupied that he forgets to do the mitzvah b'shaita. Again, this is all rehashing what we said before, and something that we really discussed last week in Parsha Shlach. And the Tcheles is meant to remind us of the person who is involved in deep ideas and lofty ideas of Torah, of Ruchnias, that he also should not forget to be involved in doing the mitzvah b'shaita, when the mitzvah comes, not to abandon the mitzvah because he thinks he's involved in bigger things, higher things, more lofty things. And yet it was definitely over here in this area of tzitzis that Korach wished to make his point. In other words, we don't need any external reminders. We don't need an external. We don't need you, as it were, Moshe Rabbeinu, to be the intermediary who brings us, who gives us Torah, etc. Of course, he's erring, Korach. But it's dafka in that area over there, defining the structure of Klal Yisrael. That's where his sin is. That's where his aver is. That's where his misperception of things lies. Then we saw that it's the wife of Korach, Chazal say, is the one who really incited him. She gets him cooking. Again, how this interplays with what Chazal say, Rashi brings down that he saw that Elit Zafon was nominated as the head of what he called of the Shevet. Why shouldn't he be nominated, etc.? He's after all, he's from an older son of Levi. Where it begins, does it begin with his wife? Does it begin with the nomination of Tzafon? I don't know how the two things play together. Probably they work in tandem. But certainly she clearly, according to Chazal, is responsible for inciting him. And it's so strange, you know, like, why should we pin this on the wife of Korach? What was the need? What importance are we gaining from it? I mean, I understand perhaps they have a Kabbalah, that's what transpired, but what's the Divrei Torah that it's teaching us? I mean, we We don't know everything of their personal lives. We don't know whether they brush their teeth with Colgate or Crest. Is it so important for us to know that his wife incited him? She was a jealous woman. She was a spiteful woman. She was a woman who didn't have foresight. Ad kedei kach, that not only do Chazal bring down her involvement in the Torah Shebaal Peh, but they say it really is the topic of a pasuk in Mishlei. Chachmos nashim bansa beisa, v'yivelas b'yoda tarsena. Chachmos nashim bansa beisa. Chachmas Noshim Bansa Besa is the wife of Onden Peres, who, through her street smarts, as we mentioned, she saves her husband's life. I mean, you wouldn't call it exactly deep thinking on her part. It was clear thinking, and definitely street smarts. She gets him drunk. I mean, this is not the sort of thing that one would necessarily require tremendous intellectual acuity, you know, keenness of depth of understanding. This is basic wisdom, and she saves her husband. She's called Chachmos Nashim, the wise amongst women. Bansa Besa builds her house. Viveles, we know the Targum is always a shatya, or a fool, a shota, a shtus, a person's engaged in a shtus, a person's engaged in illogical and foolish behavior. Viveles, v'yada teharsena, she destroys her house, and that's referring to the wife of Onden, of Korach. Now clearly the wife of Korach is one intelligent lady. Right? Korach was joined to Chacham HaKalam, and she rebuts him. But Moshe Rabbeinu, but she's got an answer for everything. She's one clever lady. She has a great deal of knowledge, but knowledge misapplied gives one the title Ivelis, Shatya, a fool. Ivelis, a wicked fool. The other to Arsena. What's driving them to relate this story to us, that somehow the wife of Korach, wife of Korach, is involved with this crazy age of dressing up Korach's men in the talisos of Tcheles, etc. There's something here. There's something lurking. So I think in order to appreciate it, if you don't mind, we'll take a little tour. Gemara in Titus on Chavdalet. Chavdal and Beis relates to us a little bit of one more story of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was extremely poor. The more relates that a baskol would come out of Shemayim and say that kol olam kulo nizon bishvil Chanina beni. Chanina beni dayo bekav charuvim erev Shabbos erev Shabbos. The entire world is sustained in the merit of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. And for him, what he's entitled to after his merit has sustained the entire world, he's left with a kav charuvim erev Shabbos, erev Shabbos. A small measure of bakzer, of carob. That's what he's entitled to. And that's him, that's his family, that's everybody. So the Gemara relates that Mrs. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa was obviously very embarrassed. They had nothing in the house. And every erev Shabbos she would light up the stove. So smoke would come out of it as though she were cooking, even though she had nothing to cook. They had very difficult circumstances. They obviously had one nosy neighbor who came into the house. She knocks on the door, she enters into the house, I mean, this is a chutzpah, and out of busha, because there's nothing in the oven, this woman's going to check out what could she possibly be cooking. They have no money, they have nothing to buy. So what's she probably cooking with all the smoke from the oven? She comes in, and the Chanina ben Dosa's wife flees to another room, and as the woman enters, she finds that the mixing bowl is filled with dough, and there's bread baking in the oven, and quickly she calls out, Rebbetzin ben Dosa, or whatever they call it. Your bread is gonna burn. Quickly bring the paddle to take off the bread before it burns. And to which she answers, of course, that's where Rebbe's going to get the paddle. I think it was that she was Milumetis Venisim. She knew that a nace would take place. After this entire story takes place, which is interesting enough on its own, she says to Rav Chaim Mendoza, how long are we going to be mitzvah like this? I mean, they did have the bread, but I guess she didn't want to live off Nisim like this. Like, again, there's, right, that's a discussion in its own right. I mean, but she says, how long are we going to be like this? Well, why, well, we can't have a regular amount of parnasa. So what should I do? She says, daven. So she should give a parnasa. She davens, and a golden leg drops out of the heaven. That's pretty good. Then, it appears, I mean, it's different to ourselves, but it appears from the way our Gemara is using it, from the next one we'll come to, she has a dream that they're sitting in the Olam Emes, and everybody's sitting at a table with three legs, and they're sitting at a table with two legs. She says to him, we're going to sit at a table with two legs instead of three legs? Tell him to take it back. She says, what should I do? It's Davin. He davens, and a hand comes out of the heavens, throw the leg up, and so the legs return to its proper place. The Ruach Chaim, Rav Chaim Volozhin, has an entire discussion on this Gemara. First of all, he says that really Hashem always wants to be mashpia tov upon the world. He wants to give bounty, plenty to the world. But not everybody merits. So sometimes it's through when he brings the shloah. When the Gemara says kola olam nizon bishvil chanina b'ni, it means in the causeway, a shvil is a path. He merits the parnasa because he's plugged in. He's an Ovid Hashem. He's Yerah Shemayim. He knows what he has comes from the Creator and not from anywhere else. He is an Ovid Hashem in all aspects. His shvil, his passageway, is the passageway which brings Parnassa down to the world. But since everybody else can't merit, so he's the ultimate Bal Chesed. Willy-nilly in this case, but not so willy-nilly really, because we see that they're willing to live that way. He becomes the ultimate Bal Chesed in that all of his merit, which brings down the Chesed to the world, brings down the Parnassa to the world, goes to everybody else. And he's left over only with the most meager of subsistences. And she, in turn, this is Chanina ben Dosa, Robertson Chanina ben Dosa, recognizes this after her dream, and she realizes it's not Kedai for us. We'll be missing the leg. The Ruach Chaim says, Ruach Chaim in Avos, it's in Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel, he says that this the legs that we're talking about are Torah Avodim Gmilas Chasodim. The leg of Gmilas Chasodim, our leg of Gmilas Chasodim, won't be as exquisite as it could have been because we used it up in this world, and so we'll live with a meager existence. Fine. This is the Gemara is got plenty of interesting things to talk about, but let's go further. Sorry. The Gemara in Bavasra. The Gemara in Bavasra, well, it's another story. Tangentially about the wife of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. The Gemara in Bavasra, Ayin Dalet, tells the story that Rabbi Yochanan was traveling in a ship in the high seas. There he sees this amazing treasure chest covered with, bedecked with jewels, all sorts of precious stones, and it's surrounded by sharks. And the divers were trying, as it were, to enter into this chest. And the sharks try to bite their legs off. Marshaw says that was a remiss to them, that they have no business there. Why with their legs? Because this, as we'll see in a moment, this treasure chest is symbolic of the leg of Rav Chaim ben Dosa's table in the Olam Emes. We'll see. One moment. Finally, they come back with some sort of vinegar solution. They're able to disperse the sharks. They try to open the chest, and a baskol comes out of Shemayim. Who dares touch the treasure chest of the wife of Rav Chanina ben Dosa? Who dares touch the treasure chest of the wife of Rav Chanina ben Dosa, who will put the tchelis for the tzaddikim in the Olam Emes? Fascinating. So the Mashor says that the symbolism, as we mentioned before, the sharks wanting to rip their legs off Lo Aleinu, is a reference to the fact that this is her treasure chest, her symbolic treasure chest, because she didn't want to benefit from that golden leg, the leg of Gemilas Chasadim, from their table. She understood that it was more important that they lived a life of penury. There's no way to describe it. And not to have that leg deficient. And so she asked them to daven to take it back. And in turn, when they didn't realize that, and they were dispersing the sharks, then the boss call came out of Shemayim and says, how dare you touch this? This is not shaykh to you. She's going to put the tcheles for the tzaddikim. The marshal says, the idea of the tcheles, as we know, is the tcheles of the color of the kisei kavod, right, etc. Dveikus with her bonus shalom, very nice. But it's still, what's the idea of the tcheles here? She's going to place the tcheles on the tzitzios, or what do you call it, on the talisos. This is a halachic question, actually. You have the tzaddikim, lost your level. What does that mean? So I dare say that we can get a picture of all of this together by employing very fascinating discussion by Rav Tzadok HaKohen. And even though it seems that we've got a lot of loose threads over here, no pun intended, I think in a moment it will all come very, very clear. The Gemara in Bracha says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Chava from Adam, says in Samach Aleph in Bracha, Shebnoa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chava kibinyan otzar. He built her like an otzar, like a storehouse. Why? In order to, as it were, to properly carry a child to term during pregnancy. Just as a storehouse protects the fruits stored within, so too also Chava was built like an otzar. From there, Rav Tzadok takes us to another Gemara. Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, that tells us in the Pasuk, V'haya en munas itecha, chos en yeshuos, chachmas, chachmas v'das, yiras Hashem hi otzaro. So the Gemara says this pasuk in Yeshaya is describing Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. Emuna is Seder Zroyim. Itecha is Moed. Chosen, right, is Nashim. Yeshuos is Nezikim. Chachmas is Kodshim. Das is Taharos. Concludes the pasuk. Yiras Hashem hi Otzoro. Yiras Hashem Yotzoro, it says in the Gemara, all of Torah Shabbal Peh. You can have all of Torah Shabbal Peh, but if you don't have it in an Otzar of Yiras Shemayim, it goes to naught. It goes to nothingness. It will be frittered away. It will be lost to the rats and the mold, etc. Says Rav Tzadok, he says that when the Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built Chava like an Otzar, it's not just for the biological fruit of the Jewish home. It's also for the spiritual fruit of the Jewish home. The spiritual fruit of the Jewish home. Spiritual fruit of the Jewish home. She's like an otzar, as it says in Brachos, and it's also referring to her being the otzar of Yerushalayim. She creates the ambience within which the Torah is learned, the ambience of Yerushalayim, the ambience of the Jewish home, which inspires, which gives life, which gives success and eternity to all of the Jewish endeavor of the home. The same Otzer, the Otzer of Brachos, is the Otzer also of Shabbos. Yiras Hashem hi Otzaro. That's what Rav Tzadok says. That's what the Tzadok says. Furthermore, the Gemara in Brachos also says on Yud Zayin that Gedola Haftacha Shivtiach HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Nashim Yosef and L'Nashim, greater is the Haftacha, more powerful is the Haftacha, whatever the case is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was made to women than he's made to men. Gedola Haftacha Greater is the promise, the assurance that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made to women, anoshim, yoser min anoshim, more than anoshim. And the Reish HaRav, the Iyun Yaakov, says the reason is because Godel HaMa'aseh yoser min ha'oseh. Greater is the one who enables, who energizes, who causes someone else to do a mitzvah. A ma'aseh, right, is one who causes someone else to be oseh. When the tzedakah collector gets us to give tzedakah, he gets more skar. The assumption that he's the Shem Shamayim, and he's Erlich. So he gets more skar than we get when we give it. He energized us. He was the enabler of our mitzvah. So says the recall to Reish HaRav and the Yon Yaakov that women have a greater haftacha. Why? Because they're the grand enablers of Klal Yisrael. They make everything tick. They make it run. They make it work. They make it work. God al ma'asa yosim and osa. That being the case, so I think that's what's being discussed over here. The women are the grand enablers of the framework of Torah and mitzvos. Framework of Torah and mitzvos. They are the otsar of Yerushalayim, and that's why the reward of the wife of Rechanim Mendoza symbolically is being held in an otsar, Katalisa, there at the bottom of the sea, hidden away. Not perhaps as much fanfare, but it is the otsar. It is the storehouse. It is the warehouse of all success. That's where the schar is. Gadol ma'aseh yosim and osa. That's the women of Klal Yisrael. They define, they structure, they are the grand enablers of Jewish life. Similarly, tzitzis, as it were, describes the structure of Jewish life. And we'll go back over again all the different aspects that we saw. The Meshech Chochmas, the Kliyakar, the Netziv, the Hamikdavar. All of those describing the framework of Jewish life. The woman is the master of maintaining that framework. Just as the mitzvah tzitzis in general is the mitzvah, as it were, that encapsulates and is meant to remind us constantly of the structure of Torah and mitzvos. The juxtapositioning, the end of Parshas Shlach, beginning of Parshas Korach, the connection between the tzitzis, between the tchelis, between the ploy of Korach. The women are involved here. The women are involved. You can feel it. The wife of Korach is overcome with her climbing need, societal need for climbing the ladder of success. Her husband has to be on top. And she's a bright, bright woman. She's a very bright woman. But she has abdicated on her responsibility of being the otsar for her husband's spiritual success rather than his political advancement. She, by abdicating on that, has turned her back on that which is her job description and the proper understanding of what Tchelis and what Tzitzis are all about. She's missed the point. So all of her smarts, and she's clearly one smart lady, is frittered away to nothing. Ivelis, she's called a fool, a wicked fool. Shatya, Viveles Vyodatar Sena. On the other hand, I don't think we necessarily see any Rashi and Tosfos. Yeah, no, Rashbar and Ritva, Balamor, Ramban, from the wife of Ishto, wife of, sorry, Omban Peles. but she understands what she needs to do. She needs to save her husband. She needs to save her home. She understands there is no issue over here to fight against Moshe Rabbeinu. Chachmos nashim bansa beisa. The wise amongst women build their homes. It's interesting. Chachmos is plural. Wise women, bansa is singular. Perhaps you could say that women employ different types of smarts in order to preserve their homes. There isn't always one answer. Maybe that's part of the idea of wisdom. Right? The wisdom is to know how to apply it. When the goal is to preserve the Jewish home, maybe this home needs a little bit more structure. Maybe this home needs a little bit more simcha. Maybe this home needs a little bit more whatever it needs. Chachmas nashim, bansa, every individual woman. And at different points in time, the same given woman knows how to apply chachma in order to maintain her home. Vivelas, the other tarsena. Vivelas, the person who is preoccupied. I heard once from Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, that the word Ivelas, what makes him such a fool? Because it comes from the notion Iva, what you want. What you want becomes the center of your universe, the egocentric universe. What I want is the be-all and end-all. It's the only determining factor of what I should do and what I should think and where I should go and how I should be. What I want. A person who has Yira lives in a world of where the Borei Olam's Ratzon is at the center of the universe, not what I want. Yivelas v'yada tarsena. So I think that in light of this discussion, I think we can understand a little bit of what Chazal was trying to communicate to us by bringing in the story of the wife of Omer Peles and sort of the wife of Korach and her involvement in this charade, this political charade of Korach to mock Moshe Rabbeinu, the charade of the men dressed in the talisos of Tchelis. We should always have the wisdom, and our homes should always be filled with that wisdom, to live in a God-centric universe of Yer Shamayim, and not in the universe of the Evil or the Eveles, the one whose wants, as it were, determine the beat of the drum of his life.